Father, I want to thank you because today we are going to be confronted with your word, with your truth. We're going to talk about the kingdom of heaven. Oh Lord, we all want to be there. And Father, you want to help us to get there. And you deal with us and you show your grace. And Father, today we don't want to say no any longer. There is someone here that needs to trust you forever fully. There is someone who needs to give you their life fully. There is someone in here who is struggling, really struggling, Lord, in many aspects of their lives. And Father, today, dare I not but preach Jesus Christ as our Savior, as our only source of hope in a hopeless world. And so, Father, please speak through me as I speak to your people, the Paradise Seventh-day Adventist Church. In Jesus' name, amen. So the worship service started. The king brought together all of the people of the realm, of the kingdom, and brought them together for a very special worship service. God had shown them about a statue. A statue of gold, silver, bronze, iron, and clay. God had been very merciful to him, but the king decided God is wrong. God said that I only have very few time in my kingdom, but I want to have more time in my kingdom. And so he decided, let me go ahead and invite all of the people of the realm, and we're going to have ourselves a worship service. I invite you to turn your Bibles to the book of Daniel, chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, and I'm going to go ahead and 2 weeks ago I preached on Daniel chapter 1 and I made a comparison between Jehoiakim and Daniel. Prayer meeting, we talked about Daniel chapter 2 and we saw the chiasm and how God is in control of time. And now I will finish by preaching Daniel chapter 3, 4, 5, and touch a little bit on 7. It'll be rather quickly. Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its width 60 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Verse 4 is going to be a very important verse in our study. It says that then he sent out a herald. He sent out a messenger, verse 4. And this herald cried out loud, "To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, psaltery, in symphony, with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." And so the story goes that when they heard the symphony sounding, every person in the congregation fell down, prostrate behind a big image of King Neb. Nebi. Nebuchadnezzar. Except, verse 12 says that some people came to him and said, O king, there are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. And so the king brings them out. What's up, guys? What's going on? You guys know that I said that if you do not worship the image, you will be cast into a fiery furnace. And so the men answered, verse 17, verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, if you're going to put us in the fiery furnace, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image that is which you have set up. Let me go ahead and make a small parenthesis. Young people, youth, young adult, and adults, now is the time when we are to make a stand for Jesus Christ. There is always going to be one or two ways, maybe three or four, five or six, but the Bible says that there is one way, the biblical way in which His children should walk. And so I know, especially the youth, you know, you guys are starting new adventures in life. You're going off to college, you're going to high school, you're getting good grades. You got the world opened up to you. But my prayer is that whenever you're found or you find yourself making a decision where you know that God and the Bible says something in particular about it, whether it's worship, whether it's marriage, whether it's what to study, whether it's business, that you would say, let it be known to you, world, and O evil one, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Verse 19, then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. And they threw the men into the fiery furnace. And even the people that went ahead and brought them into the fiery furnace died because it was so hot, seven times over. By the way, the word seven is very important in this passage. And they were in the fire, and all of a sudden the king's eyes opened up. He was so surprised. Verse 24, then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. And he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to him, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. God has never said that we're not going to be put through trials in this life, through fire, through rivers, through water. But he has promised that for the people who stay with him, he will be in the midst of the fire with us. And so Nebuchadnezzar, he lost his mind. He said, what in the world? Get those kids out. Get those young men out. There is no other God that can save like the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And whoever worships another God in the kingdom that is not the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be killed. And so in chapter 4 of Daniel, we find another parallel story. And here Nebuchadnezzar, who actually had, whom God spoke to his heart, now recounts how it is that he came to the knowledge of God. And so he will recount, and he had this dream. And he had this dream, and no one was able to interpret this dream. And so he remembered, my magicians weren't able to interpret the dream of Daniel chapter 2. They're worthless. But I am going to call upon the man of God who was able to interpret the dream in Daniel chapter 2. Maybe he will be able to interpret this dream. And sure enough, he called on Daniel. And this is what he told him, Daniel, verse 10. These were the visions of my head while on my bed. I was looking, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth. And its height was great. The tree grew and became strong. Its height reached to the heavens, and it could not be seen to the ends of all the earth. Its leaves were lovely, its fruit abundant, and in it was food for all. The beast of the field found shade under it. The birds of the heavens dwelt in its branches. And all flesh was fed from it. This is my dream, Daniel. Now, please, this is another thing I saw. Verse 13. I saw in the visions of my head while on my bed. And there was a watcher, a holy one coming down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, chop down the tree. And cut off its branches, strip off its leaves, and scatter its fruit. Let the beast get out from under it, and the birds from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump and root on the earth. And so Daniel said, yes, king, I am able to interpret this dream. And so he interprets the dream, verse 25, and after this we're going to make the parallel. Verse 25, Daniel says, they shall drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven. And seven times shall pass over you till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. And so Daniel said, your kingdom is going to be taken away. And you yourself are going to act like an animal for 7 years. Until you realize that God is the only God who has the power. You thought that you were the big shot. You thought that you were, that you controlled times. You think that you are a man God. But God is going to take your kingdom away, and here is the parallel. Why is it that in Daniel 3 and in Daniel 4 we have two heralds? In Daniel 3, the herald says, hear everybody. Whoever does not worship the image. Whoever does not bow down to the image, they will be put into the fiery furnace. And Daniel chapter 4 verse 13 says that there was another herald, a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven, and he cried out loud and said, cut this tree, cut it, cut its, or take away its leaves, until there's only the stump and the roots in the earth. Could it be, beloved, that Daniel chapter 3 and Daniel chapter 4 show us two different kinds of kingdoms? By the way, these were words of judgment. Whoever does not worship the image, who was Nebuchadnezzar, will die. And the other herald said, this big tree is also Nebuchadnezzar. But in his judgment call, he doesn't say Nebuchadnezzar will die, but he says Nebuchadnezzar, he will be cut. But the stump will stay there. The roots will stay there. And he is going to act like an animal. Beloved, these are two judgment calls. And here we see the difference between the kingdom of earth and the kingdom of heaven. Because the kingdom of earth brings death. The judgment, the end of the kingdom of earth is death. And here we see the centerpiece of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is a kingdom of mercy. God did not send judgment, or this judgment call to Nebuchadnezzar to kill him, just like he did for everyone who didn't bow down in chapter 3. He sent this dream and this judgment call in order to save him. And if you keep reading, Daniel chapter 4, verse 28, it says, all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of the 12th month, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. God gave him 1 year after he gave him the warning. What kind of a God? You know, beloved, God has been talking to some of you for not 1 year, for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years to come to him. And you know the situations that you're under. And you know the things you go through whenever we don't follow the Lord. But here I am to tell you, as my last testimony to you, choose the kingdom of heaven. Choose mercy. God gave Nebuchadnezzar a warning, but he didn't give the warning to kill him. He gave the warning to save him. And that is the kingdom of heaven. That is the God of the Bible. That is our King who gives us warnings not to kill us, but to save us. And so maybe I'm speaking to someone here today. And you know how far away you are from the Lord. You know that maybe you carry the name Adventist just for carrying that name. And you know what it is that goes on in your own personal life. And maybe today God is giving you a warning and is saying to you, I am trying to save you. And sometimes I even let you go through some problems and trials, just like you did Nebuchadnezzar, because I am trying to save you. Whereas the kingdom of this world is showing you this golden image, and all you have to do is bow down to it. But the book of Daniel says that the judgment in the end is death, is fiery furnace. And so point number one, the difference between both worship or both calls is that one says, I'm going to kill you, and the other one says, I'm doing this to save you. And we're going to keep going. Daniel 4, verse 36. After the 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar regained his consciousness. Verse 36, at the same time, my reason returned to me. And for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. And then he says, my counselors and noble resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth and his ways justice, and those who walk in pride he is able to put down. If Nebuchadnezzar was able to repent, if the king of Babylon, who thought of himself as the man God, was able to repent, and God dealt with him with mercy, God is also able to deal with you, with me, with mercy. But it says here that he got together with his counselors, he got together with his nobles, all his people were returned to him after he accepted God after the 7 years. And so God was good to him. He brought him back to his position. But he realized that the one to be honored was the real King of heaven. Next story, as we are putting them together. First lesson, the kingdom of heaven is a kingdom of mercy. It's a kingdom of forgiveness. It's a kingdom that's trying to find you every day. That's giving you all of the opportunities so that you can be saved. Unlike the kingdom of earth. Daniel chapter 5, Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords. Lords. Verse 4 finished with lords. Everything was given back to him. But some years later, Belshazzar now has also lords around him. Now, this guy didn't care about what God did for Nebuchadnezzar. He didn't care. And he says that he made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in the presence of the 1,000. Well, he tasted the wine. Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple which had been in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his wives, his concubines might drink from them. They brought the gold vessels that had been taken from the temple of the house of God which had been in Jerusalem, and the king and his lords, his wives, his concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. So chapter 4 finishes by Nebuchadnezzar saying, Lord God, you are king. Daniel chapter 5 begins by a king saying, I don't care, God. Whatever you say comes in through here, lives right out of here. I don't care about what you say. And while Nebuchadnezzar worshipped the God of heaven, he said, Lord, I am sorry and thank you for everything, for the patience you've shown. This guy says that he started worshiping the gods of silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. And so a hand came up and wrote, and he did not know what it was. And so he said, whoever is able to decipher this, you know, I'm going to make him third in the kingdom. And then his grandma, probably, or one of the concubines of Nebuchadnezzar said, there is a man, you know, who answered or who deciphered the dream of your grandfather once. And so they brought in Daniel and he said, can you read this? If you can, I'm going to make you third in the kingdom. And so Daniel said, stay with your kingdom. Stay with the things you want to give me. I'm going to do it because I praise God. And it says, the inscription says, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Uparsim, and this is its interpretation. Mene, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel, you have been weighted in the balances and found wanting. Peres, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. The kingdom of God is mercy, it's forgiveness. But I'm also here to remind you that the kingdom of God is also justice. And God has to finish with sin. God must finish with the things that are going on in this world. And sadly, if we have not made our decision for the right kingdom, for the King of heaven, there will also be justice. Do you remember the ark? The ark of the covenant. There's two things. There is the law inside. And then there's also mercy. Now God sent Jesus to die for each and every single one of us, whether we love Him, whether we accept Him or not. And He's trying to get your heart. Will you open your heart to Him? On the other side, if you do not open your heart to Him, if we cannot see or hear the way God sees us, there is going to come a time when judgment will be presented, the judgment of destruction. I want to see you in heaven. Daniel chapter 3, 4, and 5 are linked together, which show a kingdom of mercy and which show a kingdom of justice, which is exactly what God offers. Why would you not want to go? Why would we not want to go and be part of the kingdom of mercy and heavenly justice? Why would we want to be part of the kingdom that lies about us and then puts us into the fiery furnace? And my last point is, what are some of the characteristics of the people of the heavenly kingdom? And Daniel chapter 6 talks about them. This is the story. Read it. That's going to be our homework tonight. The time of the Medes and the Persians. And if you read this story, there is going to be some words that are key here. The words are finding. The satraps, they wanted to find something against Daniel. They wanted to find something against him because he was one of the head most important people in the kingdom. And they were wanting to find something until they found an edict that whoever was found worshiping someone other than the king was going to be put into the lion's den. And they said, O king, you must sign this piece of paper. And he signed a piece of paper. He said, it's great. And you know what Daniel did? He went into his room and prayed. And we got to read that. Daniel, chapter 6, verse 10, and I'm done. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home and in his upper room, with his window open toward heaven, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day, and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Then these men assembled and what? And what? And found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Whenever people look for you to chase you down, whenever people look for you to speak bad things about you, the people of the kingdom of God are to be found. Or in other words, let this world find us on our knees. And you know what the Bible says about these two kingdoms? It says that the kingdom is finally given to the saints of the Most High. The people who chose the kingdom of mercy and heavenly justice before choosing the kingdom of gold and destruction. And whenever they were searched, they were found communicating with God. Jesus is coming soon. I truly believe that. And I truly believe that the book of Daniel is also trying to tell us that we ought to choose the kingdom of God. Maybe there's someone here today, and maybe you're hearing this for the first time. I don't know. I want you to know that Jesus died for you, whether you accept it or recognize it or not. And that He deals with you and He wants your heart. And he's waiting for you like he waited for King Nebuchadnezzar. And he has given you the Bible, and I am preaching to you, and Pastor will preach to you, and you are here because the Holy Spirit is saying, please turn back. You are going to a place of death. Turn back. Turn back. And very soon I will make justice, heavenly justice, and I will give you the kingdom. I want to be there. And I want to see you there, Andrew. You have great things coming up for you. Stay with God. J5, Austin, I don't know if you're in here. Diego, Marlon, Angelo, Gabby. I wish I could mention everyone. And this is the real hope of the Christian. You know, we must part ways. But if it weren't because of the kingdom of righteousness, this would be a sad day. But if we hold on to the hope, against all hope, if we hold on to the real kingdom of righteousness, we accept Jesus Christ, His sacrifice. We become baptized. Some of you need to be baptized. You must ask the pastor, I want to be baptized. Jesus said, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And then, yes, we might go through troubles. We might go through difficulties in this life. But let's get on our knees. Let people find us. Let the devil find us like the satraps found Daniel on our knees. And one day God will do well. He will bring justice to this world. And so in this world we will part ways. We won't see each other anymore in 2 weeks. I don't know if I'll come back. Or maybe you go to Paris. But beloved, my first sermon here was about the second coming of Jesus. My last one is about waiting for the second coming of Jesus.